Hello, brothers and sisters. I'm Sister Ann Shields, and welcome again to Food for the Journey. We have a lot to squeeze into the next 15 minutes, so listen up, listen carefully. We want to take a look at the readings for today, but before I do that, I want to read to you a section from Magnificat magazine on this 24th Sunday in Ordinary Time, and it gives you some foundation for the readings that we're going to take a look at. The Pharisees and the scribes complain about Jesus. This man welcomes sinners and eats with them. Yet, says the commentator, if they had the decency to be the least bit mindful of their own history, they would have recalled how their ancestors at the base of Mount Sinai had, quote, become depraved, end of quote, and had turned aside from the way God pointed out to them. God uses the experience of our being lost, like the sheep, the coin, and the sun, to demonstrate compellingly that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. Christ welcomes sinners and eats with them because only that closeness with Christ's human presence changes sinners into saints. Be with Jesus. Feed on the Eucharist. Spend time in His Word. That is what brings us into a place where our sinfulness is turned into holiness. To this, St. Paul attests, I was once a blasphemer and a persecutor and arrogant, but I have been mercifully treated. Here we are in this year of mercy. The readings for this Sunday are filled with an understanding of God's mercy. So let's pay attention. The first reading is taken from the book of Exodus, chapter 32, verses 7 to 11, and then 13 and 14. The Lord said to Moses, go down at once to your people whom you brought out of the land of Egypt, for they have become depraved. Really, they turned away from the Lord again and again and again. We can't look down on them because we do the same thing. They have soon turned aside from the way I pointed out to them. This is Jesus speaking. This is God speaking to us. They turned away from the way I had pointed out to them, making for themselves a molten calf and worshiping it, sacrificing to it and crying out, this is your God, O Israel, who brought you out of the land of Egypt. Brothers and sisters, we do that. There are things we worship. They take our time, our attention, and our money. Take a look at it. Where is your time, your attention, and your money going? Is it going to that which will advance the kingdom of God in your personal life, the life of your family and your friends, your business? Or are you simply serving yourself? But Moses implored the Lord his God, saying, why, O Lord, should your wrath blaze up against your own people, whom you brought out of the land of Egypt with such great power and with so strong a hand? Remember your servants, Abraham, Isaac, Israel, how you swore to them by your own self, saying, I will make your descendants as numerous as the stars in the sky, and all this land that I promised, I will give your descendants as their perpetual heritage. What is Moses doing? Moses is being an intercessor. He's standing in the gap, and he's imploring the Lord to have mercy. We need to imitate Moses. We need to stand before the Lord on behalf of our family, our friends, our workplace, our parish, our state, our country, asking God to have mercy and to forgive us. So the Lord relented. He heard Moses because Moses was committed to him. So the Lord relented in the punishment he had threatened to inflict on his people. We need to pray for our country this way, to stand before God, that we might become a nation under God once again. Psalm 51, I will rise and go to my father. I will rise. That's the words of the prodigal son. Coming back, I will rise and go to my father. He squandered all the inheritance, as we read in the gospel. He made a mess of his life, but I will rise and go to my father. Do you have the humility to do the same? Prodigal son's story is our story. Have mercy on me, O God, in your goodness, in the greatness of your compassion. Wipe out my offense. I don't have time to cover it all right now, but I want to say, make Psalm 51 a psalm that you pray very frequently. Very frequently. And the second reading is from the letter of Paul to Timothy, chapter 1, verses 12 to 17. Beloved, I am grateful to him who has strengthened me, Christ Jesus our Lord, because he considered me trustworthy in appointing me to the ministry. I was once a blasphemer and a persecutor and arrogant. Think of that. Here's Paul. I was once a blasphemer and a persecutor and arrogant, but I have been mercifully treated because I acted out of ignorance in my unbelief. Indeed, the grace of our Lord has been abundant, along with the faith and love that are in Christ Jesus. This saying is trustworthy and deserves full acceptance. Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, and of these, Paul says, I am the foremost. But for that reason, I was mercifully treated, so that in me, as the foremost, Christ Jesus might display all his patience as an example for those who would come to believe in him for everlasting life. To the King of ages, incorruptible, invisible, the only God, honor and glory forever and ever. Amen. Paul is saying, I stood in need. I was a persecutor of Christians. Serious persecutor, throwing them into jail, assenting to their deaths. And look what happened to Paul. Saul, who became Paul. Look what happened. Do you think God doesn't have that kind of mercy for you? No matter where you are, no matter how far you are, no matter how mired in sin you are, God has a place for you. Return to the Lord, says Scripture. Return to the Lord with all your heart. All your heart. And now we come to the gospel that I would love to spend all my time on today, and I am not able to, obviously. This beautiful gospel of the prodigal son. There are other examples here, but the main one is the story of the prodigal son. A man had two sons, and the younger son said to his father, Father, give me the share of your estate that should come to me. In other words, it's like treating his father as though he were dead. I want my inheritance now. So the father divided the property between them. And after a few days, the younger son collected all his belongings. He set off to a distant country where he squandered his inheritance on a life of dissipation. So this prodigal son just takes it and goes and does whatever he wants, and he totally squanders it. And then he finds himself, as the scripture says, in dire need. And he had nothing, and he was hungry, and nobody gave him anything. Nobody helped him. And he came to his senses, and he thought, how many of my father's hired workers have more than enough food to eat, but here I am dying from hunger. I shall get up and go to my father, and I shall say to him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and against you. I no longer deserve to be called your son. Treat me as you would one of your hired workers. So he repents, and he sees that he's done wrong, and he admits it, and he's willing to take the lowest place and just be back in the household of his father. That's what God wants from us. Where we've done wrong, where we've made rash decisions, where anger and hatred and bitterness took us over, and we find ourselves in a mess at some point, what do we do? I shall go and return to my father. And when he was still a long way off, his father caught sight of him and was filled with compassion. This is the mercy of God. Even if you squandered your whole inheritance that God made possible for you, I'm talking now about the earthly portion, that God made possible for you to live as his son or daughter, and you squandered that inheritance, and you went off and did your own thing, and now it's a mess. Jesus has compassion on you. God the Father has compassion on you. Turn and come back. Return. So he got up and he went back to his father, and while he was still a long way off, his father caught sight of him and was filled with compassion. He ran to his son, he embraced him, and he kissed him, and the son tries to get out his apology, and his father just ignores all that, and his father says, ordered his servants, bring the finest robe, put it on him, put a ring on his finger, sandals on his feet, take the fattened calf, then we celebrate with a feast, because this son of mine was dead and has come to life again. He was lost and has been found. Brothers and sisters, that's what God wants to do for you. He really does. That's what God wants to do for you. I've written a book on many of the stories from the Gospel of Luke. It's entitled To Be Like Jesus. And it's just a series of meditations. You just take one a week, a chapter a week. But you'll find the meditations on Luke 15 in there as well. You can order it by going to our website, renewalministries.net, and then going to the bookstore, look for the book To Be Like Jesus. God has so much, brothers and sisters, so much mercy on us. Please, may we turn back to him. Please, those of you who have strayed, turn back. St. Ambrose says, Christ chooses those who stand. Therefore, rise, run to the church. Here is the Father, here is the Son, here is the Holy Spirit. He who hears you pondering in the secret places of the mind runs to you. And when you are still far off, he sees you and runs to you. He sees in your heart, he runs, lest someone hinder, and also embraces you. His foreknowledge is in the running, his mercy in the embrace, and as it were, the disposition of fatherly love. He falls on your neck in order to raise one prostrate and burdened with sins and bring back one turned aside to the earthly toward heaven. Christ falls on your neck to free your nape from the yoke of slavery and hang his sweet yoke upon your shoulders. Does he not seem to you to have fallen upon John's neck when John was leaning with his nape bowed on Jesus' breast? Look at John 13. Think about that. Therefore, he saw the Word with God because he was upright toward the heavenly. He falls on his neck when he says, Come to me, all you that labor, and I will refresh you. Take my yoke upon you. That's what Jesus wants to do, says St. Ambrose, if we're converted. If we say, I will turn back, I will go away from this evil I have chosen, this darkness, this stubbornness, this refusal to forgive, I will turn back and look to God to give me what I need that I might be free again. That's what God wants for us, brothers and sisters. He wants us freedom in him. He wants life for us in him. Please, brothers and sisters, open your heart to the mercy of God, and then in turn, be merciful to others. God bless you. Brothers and sisters, I have a new booklet on the mercy of God available to you. It is entitled The Mercy of God and the Joy Repentance Brings. I really urge you to read it. You can access it and receive it free by calling 1-800-282-4789. That's 1-800-282-4789. The Mercy of God and the Joy Repentance Brings. God bless you.